Thank you for everybody who's here with us in person and over phone. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of this call today. I'm going to open it up as always and ask Mayor Peel to give us an invitation if you will. Thank you, sir.
As we bow, our Father in heaven, we ever mindful of your blessings upon us. We come now, Father, amid concerns and temptations of humanity. We know full well, Lord, that you are in control of all these things. We come now asking your inspirations that we deliver to our publics the various tools, resources, and concerns that you would afford us. We ask your inspirations upon us that we do all these things in a way that we are uplifting to thee and humanity. Guide our every thought and effort that all we do, Lord, be pleasing in thy sight and uplifting to this humanity. It's in the name of Christ that we pray.
Amen.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Peter. Thank you very much. You know, let me just say before we get started that, we're here really to kind of get some consensus, really, about where we are, what our next steps should be, could be, and to make sure that we reach a consensus. That's why we've asked so many of you on the phone to be a part of this, not just commissioners, citizens here, folks who are working on the front lines of this force. So let's kind of really remember that we all have opinions. So let's try to be respectful of everyone's opinion. Let's share ideas and make sure that we all have the same goal, which is to protect the citizens of this county. And let's all work towards that end. I'm going to first ask Mitch, and then Ashley, I'm going to call on you after Mitch to give us your perspective from Albemarle Regional Health. But Mitch, kind of bring us up to date on where we are now, your perspective.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having this meeting this morning, and thank you for all that are in attendance. Currently, right now, the county is still on the stance of, we're trying to protect our citizens and our government structure as best we can in this pandemic. And we want everybody to know that right now our fire law and EMS are functioning at its full capacity. We are available should anybody have any emergency needs. We're working with the state to make sure we're providing the proper PPE to our front line, that if we get anybody with the symptoms of COVID-19, we can respond appropriately. I do have to give kudos to our Sheriff's Department Communications. We have sent them the updated protocols for how we're screening our 911 calls, and they're following that to a T, and we're getting early notification before we're arriving to any residents. There are three cases documented in Bertie County at this time, and we're awaiting any other updates to come from our Albemarle Regional Health Service partners. As needs to be stated and continuously stated, we are pushing for people that are sick to stay home if they have those symptoms, and if they need to seek medical attention, to start with their primary care physician by calling them before going into their office. And if they
are muted,
911 attention, to call 911 to please declare those symptoms early on. Albemarle Regional Health Services can give
you unmuted
information on what we're looking for in the community and how testing will
be. You are muted.
Great. Thank you, Mitch. Let me say to the task force folks here on the front lines for us, and I want to compliment you on the work that you've done. I mean, you organized and kept us organized and informed, and the communication, I think, has been excellent so far to the community. We knew early when we declared the state of emergency, kind of got us ahead of the game. Because of that, I think we were trying to stay in that respect. Mitch mentioned the fact that we do have test kits here in the county, and I think perhaps that's one of the reasons that we have as many cases as we do. Can't confirm cases if you're not tested, and so we have the ability to do that here in Bertie, which is great. But I think you guys have done a wonderful job. We just want to make sure that we continue to communicate well and all work from the same page. Ashley, if you're there, you can hear us.
You are unmuted.
Excuse me 1 minute, Ashley. Mitch, do we have any tests waiting to come back from?
That would be a question for public health.
Okay, gotcha.
So Ashley, if you're there and you can hear us, if you would give us an update from Albemarle's standpoint in terms of your perspective, in terms of where we are.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much. I am joined here by Mr. Battlebetz, our health director as well. We'll try to keep this brief and just give a basic situation report. As you all know, this is a rapidly evolving situation and recommendations are constantly changing. There are seven types of coronavirus that we typically see, or four are very, very common, more like the common cold, and then three have recently emerged that are much more severe as far as MERS-CoV, SARS-CoV, and COVID-19. The COVID-19 is the current threat that we are having that has caused this pandemic event. This is something that we have been planning for with our emergency management partners and other community partners for quite some time. So it is quite surreal that we are in this unprecedented historic event. Right now, as far as the case counts, and we do expect new numbers to come in soon, there are more than 400,000 cases globally with over 18,000 deaths. That is reported by the World Health Organization as of yesterday. There are over 54,000 cases
in
the United States. We have just gotten breaking news, I guess you could say. The state has updated their count, and we are at 636 cases in the state of North Carolina. And you may recall that the governor did have some sad news for us yesterday, and they did announce the first death in North Carolina. We do have six cases in the ARHS region. So that is one in Pasquotank, two in Hertford County, and then three in Bartee County. And to give everyone a little perspective, the pandemic event was declared on March 11th. And at that time, the global case count was just over 118,000. And as of yesterday, again, remember, we are at over 400,000 cases globally. So this, again, it just goes to demonstrate the rapidly evolving situation. As you all know, the various public health emergencies have been declared and executive orders. We won't go into each of those. However, we are definitely in more of the mitigation phase now of a pandemic response. While we will continue to practice the containment, where we are striving to really do all of that case investigation with every positive, with the persons under investigation with ARHS, we are very much in a mitigation phase because we do recognize there is community spread in North Carolina. So it is important that we all follow the local, state, and federal guidelines for social distancing and disease containment and mitigation. Just as a reminder, the symptoms of COVID-19 are fever, lower respiratory symptoms, including cough and shortness of breath. Right now, we are not recommending mass testing, and we are not recommending testing for individuals with mild illness. And mild symptoms are fever and cough without shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, chest discomfort, altered thinking, or bluish skin coloring. Testing is really most important for those who are seriously ill, those who are hospitalized, those who are in high-risk settings such as nursing homes, healthcare workers, and first responders. Most people, greater than 80% of our population who get sick, will recover, and they will be able to treat at home. The test will not change the course of care because there is no medication or vaccine to treat COVID-19. If symptoms do get worse, as Mitch stated, that really is our push. Call your doctor. First and foremost, if it truly is an emergency situation, obviously 911 is an option, but that really wants to make sure that information is shared to protect all that are involved. Those at high risk are those older populations, 60, 65 and older, those with underlying health conditions who have weakened immune systems as well. And then CDC is asking us to monitor more closely our populations of pregnant women and infants. There's various guidance out there. You know, if an individual is sick and they have symptoms similar to COVID-19, we are asking them, again, to assume that they have COVID-19. And as far as when they can go back to normal activities or normal for now activities, as we do want individuals to follow all of our mitigation guidance, they must be able to answer yes to all three of these questions. And those are, has it been at least 7 days since you first had symptoms? Have you been without fever for 3 days, 72 hours, without any medicine for a fever? And are your other symptoms improved? Again, it is much better to consider that if you are sick, you isolate. That is definitely the message that we want to get across to individuals. Stay home if you're sick. And then, of course, in this situation, we also want people to social distance. We want individuals to keep that 6 feet distance as much as possible and truly follow the executive orders and whatnot to make sure that we are preventing the spread. All of this is being done to really flatten that curve. I know you all have heard that terminology, and it is extremely true. You know, what we are doing now will save lives. It is a way that we can protect our infrastructure, protect our most vulnerable, and also protect our healthcare system. The prevention strategies otherwise are just like they are every day with other respiratory illness such as the flu and cold. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Hand sanitizers, alcohol-based hand sanitizers are appropriate when your hands are not visibly dirty, but that is not the preference. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Avoid contact with others who are sick. Cover your mouth and nose with the tissue or your sleeve, not your hands, or you can even use the crook of your elbow. It's really important at this time that we do think through all the implications of this event. These are very trying times for our community, our public. We know people are under a tremendous amount of stress. So it's important that we keep things in perspective, make sure we're getting the facts, communicating with each other through social media and various techniques such as Zoom. Our technology infrastructure is certainly getting a test right now. But all of these, we're very thankful that we do have these, that we're able to make those connections in such difficult times. I think that's all we have right now. We appreciate you having us here, and we will mute ourselves unless anybody has any questions for us.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. Battle, I will ask anything that you have to add, or we good? Many of us were on a call with the governor's office on Tuesday. It was a very interesting call. I think he gave us a lot of the background in terms of where we were, our state. But one of the key...
Okay, well, hearing no questions, I'll go ahead and mute ourselves on our end, but we will be standing by in case anybody has any questions for us in the near future.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. One of the questions was asked of the governor is whether or not he was considering putting a shelter in place across the state or in certain jurisdictions like Mecklenburg or Wake, where there have been more confirmed cases. And his response was that if he does choose to do that or decide to do that, he would do it across the state as opposed to isolated areas in the state. So that was interesting, because a lot of people are thinking that where we have more cases, then you might need to do something different there than you might in rural areas, etc. Yesterday, I was...
Is everybody able to hear me still?
With the community college system, and we were talking with the governor's office, and one of the things that they conveyed to us is that the governor is considering making another statewide statement.
Sarah, there's some background noise.
You are unmuted.
That the governor was considering doing another statement to the state by the end of this week, but they gave no indication of if he would move to a shelter in place or not. So let's talk a little bit, Mitch, and I think the concern was many communities around us are moving to that. I'm thinking about it. What would be the distinction between where we are now and what a typical, as we've seen from others, shelter in place state would mean?
Thank you, Chairman. Right now, myself and the county manager have read through both Pitt County and Mecklenburg's proclamation. And if you read through the actual, what it required, what it says, the essential function, Bertie County is already under the, we're suggesting that they do that. If they need to go to the store, they go to the store. If they need to take care of somebody, they take care of their loved ones or a friend. The biggest thing that we see in the proclamation is that there is a no gatherings of over 10 people, and that it is punishable by a class 2 misdemeanor is what I am seeing in it, the proclamation, as far as what Bertie County has not sent out as far as the guidance. And I think the shelter in place term or phrase is really misunderstood in the public as far as what these are. This proclamation is really trying to advise people, if they don't have any necessary business, to take care of their loved ones for life safety reasons, make sure that they have food and the proper medications to care for their family, we're just asking them to stay home. It's really when you get down into the meat of the proclamation. And I can turn over to the county manager to make sure he agrees with that statement, and then probably take advisement from our county attorney.
Exactly. I want to hear from several of them. Why don't you read first?
I think Mitch hit the nail on the head with making the distinction between where there's very little distinction between what the proclamations for Penn and Mecklenburg have enacted versus where we are now. Like Mitch said, it's really just about prohibiting the gatherings of 10 people and making that, you know, punishable by law.
Yeah, I've read them both, as I think a lot of us have. I think the only question is whether making it a proclamation would move citizens to take it more seriously. That's the real question, because I don't think it really calls for more, quote, action other than the possibility of having to, you know, break up or suggest to people that they disperse and that kind of thing. But it doesn't prohibit people going to work.
No.
Doesn't prohibit them going out for walks or going to the grocery store or
going to get medicine
or whatever. But it, my concern was, when you hear shelter in place, and these documents were 13 pages for Mecklenburg and 8 pages for Pitt County, that people aren't going to understand exactly what that means, or may have difficulty understanding what that means. Because when you hear it, you think, well, I can't go anywhere unless you read it and understand it. So if we were to decide to do this, I think one of the most important things would be, can we make sure that citizens clearly understand what we're asking and what their role is going to be? It's always, you know, how well can we communicate?
Interjection with that.
Yes.
I know I have 2 daughters that live in Charlotte, and they have the proclamation, but they also sent out a small, understandable version
so that
everyone would know.
Well, good, because that 13 pager is
Yeah.
Yeah, Pitt County did the same thing, kind of like a bullet point.
And I also think it is so, so important to have it in place. Because Bertie itself is unique. Bertie County, we are a elder generation. You know, we aging out here. So that makes a lot of people vulnerable. And then also with the many people with high blood pressure, cancer, and other diseases here, that makes us vulnerable people. So it would be to the citizens' benefit that we do put it in place. Because even though it's right now it's just 3 stated, that's just like 50 in Charlotte. We have a small population already. And those 3, I promise you, have family and friends. So we know it's more than that, but just only 3 tested.
The question I want to ask you, though, and I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with that at all, but do you believe that making it a proclamation adds to citizens not taking it more seriously, but
sheltering in place more so than they would if we just say to them, as we have, you should stay at home unless it is, you know, an essential thing, which the proclamation says the very same thing. But does that carry more weight is what I'm asking. Would it make a difference?
I would think so. Because even though people already know what we're doing, they still, for some reason, they need to hear it. They need to see it on paper. That's pretty much what I have. Yeah.
I'd like to hear from, like, some of the folks that I have been home. I have been doing what I'm supposed to be and been home. So I'm not, I don't know if people are out and about and gathering. I mean, so I'd like, Kenny, could you add to, I mean, you're out and about. Are people out and about doing what they're not supposed to be doing?
You still see a lot of people, but it's not, I don't think you see it been. And is there? I mean, I don't know about Williamson yesterday, just like regular times.
Yeah.
I agree with Mitch. I think a lot of people misunderstand what shelter in place means. Some people think you put shelter in place over in, that means I can't go jogging, I can't go fishing, I can't go to the grocery store. I think we do it, it'll make people, I think people take it more serious. Plus, but we need to do something like, as Benjamin said, put something like that, fine tune it and let people kind of simplify it. This is what you can do. I think a lot of people are under the impression we can do that. My wife had a question, can I go jogging?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. And the granddaddy can carry his grandson fishing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think if we just shift the place, you've got to stay home.
Greg, I saw you were going to say something.
Yeah. Looking at it from two different directions, so I guess one thing is, do we have a problem yet that needs to be fixed? I mean, like Mecklenburg, they have nightclubs that are going, they have a lot of public gatherings going on all the time. I'm not seeing that here at all. Maybe there's something I don't know about. You know, we'll just fix it. I guess another thing is there a downside to this? I'm not sure what a downside. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not sure what the downside would be, other than just as I sit here and you think, well, if we do this today, it's probably got a shelf life. There's going to come a point where people are going to say, I just ain't doing this anymore. I'll do this for 3 weeks, I'll do this for 4 weeks, and I'm going crazy. You know, do we need to wait because of that? I'm saying that in form of a question. Yeah.
Let me say this, Greg. I purposely spent a good bit of time just riding through the community, just kind of observing. Let me just tell you what I saw yesterday. I went by Dollar General, right? Parking lot was full. I went by Walmart. You're right, kid. Nothing really has changed. People are still out there. And when I hear that, if you touch a hard surface, and that virus can potentially exist for 2 days, 72 hours, even lower. That's scary. So people may be harming themselves unknowingly. And if our concern is that we really want to make sure that people in this community are as safe as possible, even though the wording of this doesn't do anything other than what we have already said, other than it makes it, gives it a little bit more push, a little bit more, you know, authority behind it, then I'm thinking that maybe we should do that. Because the downside of that, I don't see much. It just might strengthen it, might make people take it on the search. I got a lot of calls from churches and pastors saying, you know, I only have about 15 people in my church on an average on a Sunday outside of the choir, you know, so should we be doing it and stuff like that. So if we're going to stay ahead of this thing, and I think we have been, this may be something that we would really want to consider. Lord, I'm going to get your thoughts.
Well, you know, obviously, Orange County and Wake County just imposed it today. Wake is making an effect more soot. If you decide to do it, one thing I would suggest that you do is just so people don't get so upset about it, is I think, or I hope at least Congress is going to pass that Relief Act, Stimulus Act, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. If one or two people don't goof it up for everybody, but that's, you know, something that can't happen. Both Juan and Mitch are right, really, like, if you implement the proclamation and the order, it ain't gonna stop people from going to Walmart, because they always say, hey, I'm going to get groceries. It might make people a little more careful. And Greg's certainly right. I read an article, you know, I've been trying to stay ahead of this thing because I've been working from home. As some of our folks, we give them the option to do what they will, because we're exempted in all of them as essential business, but I don't want to make anybody soot. So Greg's exactly right. There's an article in the New York Times by a psychiatrist that said, you know, people don't do this in America for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're not. He said, you know, let's just, I hope we don't get like the morgues in New York City today where they're having to use tents in the streets. So I think people need to understand it's really serious, and I don't think people do. I was in Florida last week, and I mean, Key West became a ghost town overnight. They didn't have a single reported case in all of Monroe County, but their governor finally started acting very aggressively. And I think people got the message at that point. So it certainly seemed like to me it wouldn't hurt you in at all, and it might actually help. The only question I would have would be the timing. I think you let people have plenty of time, and like, I think deputies, instead of putting charge people class two misdemeanors, just say, hey, if you're violating, say, hey, you guys go home.
I do know from talking to a couple of other places that I think Hereford is considering it. And Martin said they are going to wait until Monday because they believe that the governor is going to do something by the end of the week.
So,
and I believe he is too.
I've been told tomorrow at 4.
Right,
right. Yeah.
Right. But we don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Right? And the concern Martin had was, well, if we do something and the governor comes out with a shelter in place and the language is different, then we'll have to amend out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wait for that. But I think we need to make some decision today about whether or not we want to do this. And we're going to need a day or so to work the language through and make sure that we do it. And I'm glad you mentioned, because that was one of my main concerns about 13 pages. Nobody's going to digest that, but if there's a way to come with something more succinct.
If I may, when I was researching these things and looked, and I read everyone that's been issued in the state, because I thought it might
be.
They pass them and then they pass bullet points.
Right.
And I've got copies of those I can send you where it says what this means is.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And, you know, it says it doesn't mean you're imprisoned in your house. It means you can go to the grocery store. But if you're not in one of the essential businesses, you have to stay home. But I mean, you know, our largest employer, I guess, is, as I say, the school system, Purdue, but they're an agricultural production, and they're exempt under essential businesses. But I can send y'all, and I've been sort of trying to save them until the internet went down. There's a number of people, places like Mecklenburg, I thought did a really good job, because I happen to know some of their lawyers, and they're really good. That's all they do, and they bullet pointed it. So, you know, they pass the ordinance and then broadcast it with bullet points as of what it meant. Who wants to read 18 pages of legal jargon?
Exactly. Was, that addressed one of my major concerns. So if we have that ability to do that, as obviously we do. And that's what we've been trying to do with the one pagers that we put out now. And when I think about the things that we just mentioned that would likely be in that book form, they're very similar. They might just have a little more stringent, a little more precise. So, you know, this is a logical next step for us.
I would like to add, a lot of our churches are still gathering, and so if we put this in place, that's going to stop that because of the whole 10 people thing. But some of the churches are doing drive-up church, where they're in their vehicles and they're not coming in contact. And so I'd like to see something along those lines added, worded in a way that, you know, our churches can still, you know, have service.
Well, I think there are a lot of options. A lot of people are doing it via the web and doing it, you know,
yes,
streamlining, all kinds of things. So people will find a way. But I think we need to encourage that kind of appropriate, yeah, kind of communication. I mean, that's important to us.
Ashley Stewart has input on this Sunday, if we can allow her.
Great. Ashley, Mitch said that you might have some input on this.
This is a battle bit.
Good
morning, everyone. I'm not sure who addressed it, but I don't think overall there's any harm in this, but I do agree with the shelf life aspect of it. I think really that's what the governor is struggling with. I think we all have great concern over what people are going to do over their weekends. As the weather starts to get warm, it's going to encourage people to try to get out and about and do more. And that's, of course, scary because we're trying to limit interaction. But I think the governor is worried about timing as far as what that shelf life could be. Because, again, yeah, we ask people to stay put for 15 days or 20 days. You know, at what point do they start just avoiding whatever we're trying to tell them? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but I do think that the shelf life piece does have merit, and I think we just have to be really, really careful because I've heard the adage, you don't want to use the last bullet in your gun if we did have a large...
You are muted.
In numbers.
You are unmuted.
Really have anything else left, but I guess increased enforcement, so that would still work, but I do think time is critical, but I don't know what that right answer is, but I think y'all are all on the right page at the point that y'all are sharing this morning.
Right. Thank you, Bob. Let me say this. Since we know it would, if we decide to move forward, it seems like that's kind of what I'm hearing, consensus around that, even with all the other considerations. Might we start to perhaps draft something, but wait until perhaps Monday to see if we want to put it out there, which would give at least the governor a chance to do something. We might not have to then change or repeat something, but be prepared if he doesn't or if he leaves it up to counties, then we would be ready to put it in place right away. Does that sound reasonable? Because this is Thursday. The chances of deciding what our ultimate language would be and then doing the quick piece would make it for us to be able to have something ready to go Monday morning, if we so chose.
I don't think what you're asking is unreasonable, being that you do have to draft and tweak what we already have.
Yes.
And certainly Monday would give everyone time to do what we need to do. Because some people take it really, really serious, and then some like, I don't have it. Because I was at a store, and they said, give me a hug. No, you can't have it.
I'm a hugger, so I so understand.
Chairman, I may say, I think that's a great suggestion, but I also want to thank everybody for their patience as we work through technical difficulties. But this Zoom is new for us,
yeah.
But to alleviate some background noise, Commissioner Trent has been muted. So if you will ask him when you're ready for his input, Sarah can unmute him so that
right.
he can provide
his right, because Commissioner Trent did have one concern that I think we've attempted to address, and I want to make sure he's aware of it, John. I haven't forgotten that. Because John raised the question, well, let me, I'll get to that in just a moment, but do I hear a general consensus that we should move forward with language that would be appropriate, with some models to look at, with Leon Legal, which is county manager, but also as a resolution, but also with another piece that would be more precise, well, maybe not that more precise, but bulleted kind of points that citizens can quickly digest and understand. So we're going to hear a lot of heads say yes.
Before we do that, could I hear from the mayor?
Yes, sir.
I think he has.
Okay. I'm here for information's sake, too. I don't want to do anything that's inconsistent with what county policy is. And I want to stay in line with what you're doing. I'm in the same position with the county as the county is with the state. So I want to be sure we're on the same page. Yeah, I have, in last week, we have a community building. And we use it for rentals, you know, weddings, receptions, whatever. That was canceled as of last week. At the end of the month, we lax in our attendance or activities at town hall. So there's little to no activity there now. But beginning next week, Wednesday, first of the month, then activity increases, and we're concerned about that. Also, citizens are being displaced from jobs, what have you. You know, we have concerns that may or may not be relevant to what we're doing today, but how are we going to handle some of those situations where people are unemployed or lacking? And you know, we're going to address that individually at our point. But those kinds of concerns that we have, but surely we want to be consistent with what the county plans are so that I don't observe some things that are not aligned with what county policy is.
Great, great. Thank you, Mayor. But also on the phone, we have Alan Castleville. Alan, who is the town manager for the town of Windsor, which represents a significant segment of our population. Alan, I want to hear from you.
And I've got the, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, I've got the mayor and police chief in here. We've been listening in. I will defer to the mayor on his thoughts on it. We've not declared a state of emergency here or done anything except, you know, follow the governor's and the county guidelines and kind of kept information going. We have altered our structure here, the town hall, no public, just like the county did. We've kind of mirrored what's been going on there. As far as the services, we're still doing those. Now, as far as this resolution, it's kind of new thought to us, but what you've been saying made a lot of sense, and I think it's something that the mayor wants to consider.
Great. I think it's important not only that we act as county, but the municipalities need to understand and be seen. You're our partners, and we need to be able to work collectively to make this happen, make it effective.
Chairman, can we as a county dictate legally? No. Okay. So, so we would need all the towns to sign in with us.
Yeah, but okay. I suggest that perhaps we might not do that, but to simply do it as a county, let the towns decide themselves as to what they might want to do. Simpler, easier. You see what Mecklenburg did. That's why it's 13 pages. With y'all. So, okay.
Because, I mean, during a storm, some of the towns fall on ours. Do you agree that they just need to do their own thing?
Well, we can't make them
do
it, but, you know, as far as drafting, if the town wanted to join in the ordinance, you know, the reason I sent you to Mecklenburg, when, frankly, after looking at all of them, is that it's the best written one, in my humble opinion, which ain't so humble as Dahl Knight. But it's in word, and so we can just change Mecklenburg to RT, and if we want the towns to join, we can say, you know, add the towns right in it. And I just sent you, and I don't know if we can get out or not, because I have a hard time editing here. There's bullet points for Charlotte.
The mayor has a...
Just that part is applicable to various municipalities, because all of them won't share the same concerns necessarily. But that part that's applicable to the particular municipality.
Well, what happened in, just so we're speaking apples to apples and oranges to oranges, what happened in Mecklenburg is I think every incorporated town in Mecklenburg County joined into that ordinance, because county really can't make you do that. If like the town of Windsor said, no, we don't want to do that, then that's their governmental prerogative. If your town, for example, said we do want to join in it, it was a simple matter to just add you in, and you might save you a little bit of legal fees, not that that's a big deal. We're obviously taking something that somebody else has done and doing a word replacement search.
I wonder, Lord, if we did something just for it in the county, could a municipality just enter a simple statement that says that we are going to follow the direction of, et cetera.
They can pass a resolution incorporating that ordinance by reference.
It would be a lot easier. Yes. They're trying to wait to get that. That's what we wanted. I think that would be appropriate. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
And I just saw something else flash up. Apparently the governor is going to speak tomorrow afternoon. It only makes sense that he's been watching it from Florida. You can't imagine how proud I was of North Carolina, because North Carolina was way ahead of where they were in Florida. If you'd seen people on the beaches like I did, you would have thought, it's like a scene out of the movie, these people are going to die. And he's been very proactive, and I can't imagine why he's going to speak more
unless he's going to do something.
I can tell you what they said from his office yesterday, that it's a tough decision for him.
Well, it's tough for us.
by forces who say yes, and some very powerful forces that say no.
Yes.
Right? And people are trying to get him back, I think, to maybe isolate it, and he does not want to do that. He made that clear at our call. He would prefer a statewide policy as opposed to a kind of pocket kind of strategy that people might not understand, going from one location to another. So,
I've heard from a lot of people, because I've asked it on Facebook, you know, what their opinion was, and had a lot of citizens say, no, you know, that's what we're doing now, which is what we've discussed here. But heard some very strong cases of why we should. And so I think the citizens want us all to be safe, but they don't understand. So the bullet point is a great idea, and I think that will help the citizens not be where they think they've just got to stay home for the next however long. But
one of the things that bullet points that makes clear is that you cannot go visit, for example, a loved one in an assisted living facility, and because nobody knows what happened in the state of Washington, and we've got three assisted living facilities here. And if it gets loose in one of those, you'll have just a bunch of dead people. That's just a fact. I know, like, Tarboro, the Outlaw retirement home has gone on total lockdown. Nobody can go in there and sell food.
So, could our proclamation say something about if the governor doesn't do it tomorrow, if he does it later on, that we would just follow his orders and
as a matter of law,
it automatically,
unless yours is stricter than his, right. His is going to cover.
Okay.
If his is stricter than yours, it rules because he's a higher governmental authority. If ours is stricter than his, you can still do it. It's sort of, it sounds funny, but I mean, I can't imagine anybody passing anything unless it just becomes a raging epidemic legally. You can't do so much to. Like the chairman was saying, it's a delicate balance about churches and basic the infrastructure of society bringing down. This is almost biblical proportions. I mean, seriously, it's like something out of the Old Testament.
Well, and if the bullet points could address Bertie County, I mean, like the hunting and the fishing, turkey season's getting ready to come in. That's huge around here.
But I think also, Debbie, that we have to keep it simple enough.
Yes.
So it's a concise document. And I think people have to use some logic behind it. I mean, you don't have to touch every single point, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Simple enough for people to understand it and understand what their role is in this. Okay. So I think I hear, again, from consensus, but I want to make sure that we put this in the form of a motion that the board has authority under emergency management votes on this. So I'd like to make the motion myself that the motion is that
what about John?
Yeah. We only those who are here can vote. That's what
didn't he have a concern?
Yeah, we're going to deal with that in a few
minutes. Okay.
So the motion is that we ask the county manager with assistance from the task force and legal to draft a resolution of shelter in place for Bertie County and to be accompanied by a smaller document of a bullet point specific actions that should be taken by our citizens in regards to this shelter in place resolution, and that we will hold this resolution until Monday before putting it into effect. I would like to also be able to have all of the commissioners see the final copy, be okay with it before actually putting it out there. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yes, please.
Are we saying we will put this in effect Monday?
No, I'm saying we'll wait and see what the governor says, and that may tell us that we don't need it. It may say that we still need it, but we'll have that time to debate. But let's vote on having it as a being able to do that. So it's been moved and properly seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. It's done. Now, let me, John,
Sarah, if you could unmute John, because John, this was an issue that you raised, and we've been trying to address this since you raised it. Are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm here. And again, just to let you guys know, everything that you've been saying, I've been catching every other word muffled on my end. So if I don't know something, then it's because of that. I'm trying to follow along. It's difficult from here.
I got you, John. I know what you face there. I'll make sure to update you directly on this and every point of it. But we just passed a motion to formulate a resolution that we will hold off until Monday to see what the governor says. But it is a shelter-in-place resolution with another bullet point document specifically around actions that citizens should take. Did you
get
that?
Okay.
John, one of the great questions that you raised to me the other day, and I then pass this on to the county manager and to Mitch and others, is what is the disposition of major businesses in this community? What are they doing? Do they have concerns? Are there things that, questions that they might have? What protocols do they have in place? And I think we should be understanding that, because our role is to protect our citizens here. So when they're at work, do they feel like they're in environments that are doing what they should be doing? And so we did make some calls, John, to the major employers in the area. So I'll turn it over to Mitch and Juan about what feedback we got from them.
Some of those employers include Department of Corrections. They've stated that they're not allowing any visitors. They've also said if one of their employees is sick, they have to go to the doctor and be released in order to come back to work. We've spoken with Republic. They have stepped up their cleaning and sanitizing. They have also, they're not doing any screening. However, non-essential employees are working from home. Avoca.
And also one thing, Republic said they are following the protocols of their customers when they go to
absolutely, yes. If some of their customers require screening, they are adhering to that. Avoca, of course, if they have people who want to come in, they ask those questions about, they've been around somebody, they have these symptoms and things of that nature. And of course, if they answer yes, they're not allowed to come in. And so everybody pretty much is doing similar to what we're doing in terms of limiting public access, telling employees to stay home if you're sick, and of course if you have the symptoms, follow Albemarle suggestions and things like that. So it seems like based on who we spoke to, people have something in place in order to ensure the safety of our citizens and their employees.
Yeah, and I think the response we got from Purdue specifically said, didn't give us any great details, but yes, that they are trying to make sure that they guard the safety of their employees. Now, we do know, however, and this is not a secret that's been in the news, Purdue has had issues at least one of their other plants where employees had walked off the job because they complained that employees were allowed to come into work that had been ill. So,
yeah, and can I say something real quick, Mr. Chairman? One of my greatest concerns was people that were vanning employees in from outside of the county coming from hotspots. And I do know that that's been happening. And the protocol that's behind that, that was my main concern, was bringing people in from outside of the county, Pitt, Edgecombe, Wake, Nash, places like that, Wake and places like that are hotspots, and transporting people into work. How are they looking at that? That is, to me, that is something that needs to be addressed, and did they specifically speak about that? And did you get any specifics from Purdue?
I did not receive any specifics from Purdue, particularly as it relates to the vanning. No, I did not.
Let me say this.
Okay. See, that's the major issue, and the reason I say that is because, I mean, you can look at Purdue as almost like a small airport terminal because they're bringing in so many people from outside the county. They have a van service that does this, and the precautions that need to be taken, what I think, I mean, and again, I'm not a medical person, but in my opinion, could really cause a bad situation for Bertie County, and not just employees, but the whole county.
John, let me ask Lloyd this. Lloyd, do we have any authority other than kind of our bully pulpit in terms of, you know, what employers...
And again, forgive me, I'm catching about every other word, so if you guys are just catching every other word for me, I apologize.
No, we're hearing you great, John. I hope you're hearing us. I just asked Lloyd if there was anything, authority that we have as a county other than kind of our bully pulpit in terms of asking employers to make sure they have appropriate protocol in place.
Well, I've been asked by about 40 people to challenge the resolution that Dare County has passed, which keeps everybody out of that county. And the consensus, talking to a lot of lawyers, seems to be, yeah, you've got that authority. So, yes, you can do more than talk to your political pulpit. If you will be, if you will seal the county, you can do it.
Yeah, but
it has to be something between where we are now and sealing the county.
Exactly. I don't think we're ready to seal the county yet.
No, but
we should be concerned. I think John raises a valid point. Like, my what I'm saying is that we have attempted to address this, John, with these major employers so that they understand that we expect them to have protocol in place to protect our citizens and others who work here in the county.
I would think it would be unreasonable, for example, I believe it's in it's either New York or California, they're requiring employees to have their temperature taken twice a day. You know, which is not very onerous.
They
not
have
very
medical.
Expensive. If somebody's running a fever, that's something that, you know, those people shouldn't be, especially shouldn't be around raw food products. That, you know, this thing transmits through food too. It's a moisture-based contact virus. So I know they're doing that in other states. And I would think in a state of emergency, you've got the authority to suggest that. And again, make it so you don't have to do that. But that again, you know, I get paid for giving advice. You don't get paid for taking tough food.
Could you tell them to not allow employees in certain areas?
If you can close the whole county to the whole world, yeah, I think you can. I mean, really, under the governor's emergency proclamation, you know, and you know, all we have to rely on is hurricanes. But under the hurricane, you can stop people from coming into a county. And so I don't see why you couldn't. It's not being prejudicial. It is being reasonable. The test in any emergency situation is, are we being reasonable? And if you're trying to prevent the spread of apparently what's the most contagious disease since the Spanish flu of 1918, probably a very reasonable thing. And by the time somebody got around to suing you, because the courts are all closed, hopefully this thing's going to be over and they'll be back to work.
I don't doubt, Lord, that yes, maybe we have the authority.
Well, that was
the question. That was clearly the question. But there's also, I think, reasonability. Are we there yet? The economy is important. It's important not just to Purdue. It's important to the people who work there. And if I'm coming from outside of the county and I'm healthy, and you tell me I can't come into work, that's a problem for Purdue. That's a problem for that citizen wherever they live. You know, and this is something that you step up. I'm not saying that at some point we might want to take that step. John, what we've said to them, and we can say to them in even stronger language, to say, tell us what your protocol you are putting in place.
Right? Exactly.
You know, and let them tell us, and if we don't think that that protocol is sufficient, we can come back with ideas to them.
Right. Can I? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure
you can. Okay. My question is that did we get anything in writing from Purdue what their protocol was?
Nothing in writing, John.
Did we get anything in writing from the other companies?
We have something in writing from at least one who is Republic. Everything else was a phone call.
And we got it from writing in Avoca, too.
We didn't ask for it.
All right, next question is that I'm sure that the health department and would have protocols or that what these companies should be doing, and are what they tell us they're doing matching what the protocols are or what the health department, Mr. Betts and people like that are saying is coming down from Albemarle, and has they even taken consideration people being vanned in from hot areas into Bertie County and what that protocol should be?
Battle, if you're still there on the phone, have you addressed this at all from any other counties or from businesses coming to you asking what should be the protocol? What's your advice on this?
And let me get real clear real quick. I'm not talking about keeping people from coming to work. Well, I'm talking about a protocol to check them something since they're being vanned in and could be coming from a hot area, and I know some are, okay, that they're being tested prior to coming through the gates of any of these corporations.
Yeah, I think that's clear, John. I want to know from Albemarle, have they addressed this with any other employers or policy, et cetera? Battle, are you there, or Ashley?
We are right here, and that's an excellent question. We've been working with numerous industries. I can share that Nucor, for example, is going through they shut down twice a year for their heavy maintenance, and we became aware of that and reached out to them because they'll actually have about 400 contractors coming from all over the country coming in.
Yep.
The last week of March, and so we had some grave concerns about that because we staying in our local hotels and getting takeout from restaurants and that type of thing. So we reached out to them, and they are going to have checkpoints at their entry. Their temperature will be checked. They'll be checked for signs and symptoms like cough, shortness of breath, and things of that nature as well. And if they are symptomatic, they will not be allowed into the building. And we're doing the same things with some of the school feeding sites. The school nurses are also setting up stations. We've done that at our health department locations, so we're trying to lead by example there. And we have talked to Purdue and tried to share some of those ideas with them as far as, again, don't let people in the building if they're symptomatic, if they're sick at all. And so they've been working with us. They do have their own COVID policy, so they're definitely being proactive. So as we identify certain hot spots, we're reaching out proactively, but honestly, a lot of folks have been calling us for guidance, and we're responding to those as they come in.
Great. Thank you, Battle. John, what I heard Battle say is that Purdue does have a protocol. They do have a policy. Now, again, we have not asked for it, but I think we can certainly ask for it in writing. We could then take a look at it, and there are suggestions that we might make or that with our partner Albemarle to them as well, then we could certainly do that as a really nice next step. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very important just for a simple reason of the spread and how fast this thing can spread. And I think the sense of this is, I think everybody would say, you got three cases in Bertie County's like 30 cases in Wake or 40 cases in Wake or either in Mecklenburg. I think that this needs to be paid a lot of attention to, and I think that we need to get these protocols in writing, okay, from these different companies just to have an understanding, okay, this is what they said they're doing because we have a responsibility also.
Okay, great. I think we're clear. I'm going to ask the task force to do this, to get back to those companies, ask them for their protocol in writing, ones we don't have, and say to them that we'd like to be able to take a look at it, share it with our partner like Albemarle, and if we have suggestions that we might make to further ensure the safety of our citizens, we're going to make those recommendations. Okay?
Yep.
Any
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No, thank you, John. Thank you. Great question. Great concern.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Steve, from economic development standpoint, any concerns there?
Well, I've been in contact with a lot of the companies, and you know, just let them know what's out there that can help, especially small companies. We really haven't had anyone who has stepped up and said, you know, hey, I'm in dire straits, I don't know what to do here or there. Most of them have policy in place of some sort. So, but a lot of them have not told us what their policies were either.
So. One of the things that has not gotten a lot of press is that 2 days ago, the Treasury Department announced that they will become the guarantor of last resort to all kinds of mortgages, loans, commercial loans, etc. So that makes it, that's a big deal, because it makes it easier for banks or other lending institutions to make those loans, because they, in essence, are going to be guaranteed to them by the federal government as a last resort. And so that is likely to do things like perhaps even lower mortgage rates even more, or keep existing regular commercial rates low, further even drive it down, even though we're almost at 0%. But that's a great thing. And that is a nice foundation for what the legislature will do around other loans, grants, etc. So, big deal. One thing I want to say to everybody here is that we have, Berkshire County is in great shape financially. We do not see the virus as it is now having any adverse financial impact on the county that we cannot handle. Citizens doing the right thing, they're paying their bills, they're paying their taxes, they're paying their water bills, they're doing what we ask them to do, and that's important. So we will always make sure that financially things are in place to continue to run this county as citizens expect from us. I'll ask if there's any other concerns before we kind of wrap this up. Yeah, please.
I think we had a great conversation today with the other businesses, larger businesses, industries. I think it is a good idea to take temperature as you enter and exit and have someone there to ask those questions. I saw on the news where an employee at a grocery store intentionally sneezed on the vegetables, fruits, and they took it all out. It was like
$30,000 worth of food.
And they sneeze on the product, whatever industry they're in, you know, that's pretty serious. And it lives so long on various
materials. They charged somebody in Walmart for terrorism this morning for looking at merchandise, federal terrorism.
Yeah.
Let me say to our partner here from the press that, you know, it is important for us. Communication is the key to citizens having confidence in terms of how they're going to be. We want to make it clear that we are listening to citizens. I think our task force has done a great job of getting things out almost daily. The web update, the website, you see the posters all around the county. But, and we are welcoming citizens' questions. And we're getting a lot of, and we're doing, I think, a pretty good job of addressing them, knocking down some of the rumors and things like that. But we are open to that level of communication. We don't want citizens sitting at home having questions and not getting answers. We're going to try to be proactive to answer what we think are the typical kinds of questions, but we're going to continue to stay ahead of this curve. So that's our goal. That's our goal.
Just so you're aware, for EMS, we are screening in and out for our employees when they come in and when they leave, when we go out to their families. We have a plan if we have to quarantine one of our employees before we go home to their families to make sure that we're not spreading it any further. Because we are running high risk. And as I said, kudos to the church department for catching a lot of these on the 911 calls, but it is proving to be a challenge for our employees, because it's not a normal day once we hit those criteria for the fever and the cough. and the respiratory distress. So we're having to don and doff a lot of equipment and make sure we're doing that correctly to protect the citizen and the employee at the same time. And every time a truck goes out that meets the requirements of a possible COVID case, we're having to decontaminate that truck. That process is taking over 2 hours per truck. So we are doing everything we can if they call 911.
And because we acted quickly, not only as a state of emergency, but just in common sense, we placed significant orders for products that we might need in this kind of emergency. And so there is no shortage of products for this county, for EMS, or to protect our workers. We have those goods in house. That's a wonderful thing.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. John, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This gets back to, this may be off the subject because, like I said, I am catching just every other word in what you're discussing, but something that we've had put in place at the Bertie Martin Regional Jail is a different ventilation system, okay, that cost approximately $10,000. It has been tested on TB. It's been tested on pneumonia virus, bacteria, things of that nature, also H1N1, and it has shown to kill this virus, has not been tested on coronavirus, and also it takes care of TB, things of that nature. Particular filtration system cost in that jail is about $10,000. We voted on it, put it in place, and it's going to be installed. Is this something we might want to consider for the administration bill and also for the courthouse for protection of our employees? I think it would be a mild investment just to have this, because for the certain fact that even after this coronavirus pandemic goes away, we still would have other things that could be coming up, and this type of system would be something ideal for us. And I will tell you this, the Bertie Martin Regional Jail is approximately 18 to 20,000 square feet. So I wouldn't see the cost being any more than what theirs would be.
John, that's a good question. Bring it to us with some specs, some details on it. We'll take a good look as a board. Take a great look at it.
Okay. I'll go ahead and get the information. I'll make the phone calls, get the information, have it forward over to the county manager, okay?
Right.
Does the county own any of the thermometers or the laser gun things that you can hold the distance?
No, we went away from them in our trucks. We still have some forehead temporal thermometers, but because of the accuracy of them, we went back under the tone thermometers, and we check all our employees with the temporal thermometer, but if there's any question to the number coming from the temporal thermometer, we check it with the under the tone thermometer.
The hospital is using those gun things to screen the people coming in and out, and they work a little bit involved, and they work really good because it's so fast and not clean when you've used it. And either, as you say, if there is some question, yeah, then you can go to the next.
You have to kind of have to find that happy medium, because when I went up there the other day, they screened me and I was like a 97 or 95, and you have to find that magic number that we can kind of look for if we're above that. The problem with thermometers right now is getting.
I would say, I don't know if you can get these or not, but if we can, I think we need to try to order some good things really.
Yeah.
And they're relatively expensive, $100.
I went to pain management the other day, and they, before I walked in, they did one that went across my
forehead. That's what we're using at our station right now. And we've had other departments ask us for thermometers, and we can't get any right now, and we don't have any to spare, because we're trying to keep every truck we have stocked and ready to go because of our decon orders.
The problem with those, the biggest problem I saw when you were involved is you got to clean them.
It does slow us down, but we one thing we can't get is alcohol, like, so we make sure we got plenty of that.
Did I understand Mr. Cooper to say that he's using the under the tongue thermometers?
Yes.
If we get a questionable case, every patient gets under the tongue, but our employees are done the temperature on the temporal first, and then if it's questionable, we do under the tongue.
Okay.
I have a question. Yeah. Okay, after this meeting, to distribute information, we all know that one of our largest communicators was the church. But we don't have a church, how do people get paper, not everyone reads them. Now, I was thinking, was it possible to perhaps get something to the all areas, still the same venues, but the TV station, if Governor Cooper do not put it in place for state?
Well, I can tell you what I do know about churches, right? One of the questions that was just asked of the West Roanoke Association, right, was that would they be willing, if they had a consistent message, like from the county, to distribute that to all of their members? And they said they would if we would provide that to them.
That I'm sure West Roanoke would too.
Other churches would too. I mean, is that what you're suggesting, or
I'm saying use every avenue.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that the church would.
Because some churches would not be able to afford to send it out to their members. Some churches may not have seen their members in a couple of years. I'm just saying, make sure everyone.
Well, there are a couple of things. We do have the list from the chamber of all the churches in the county. It's not perfect. Some of them have email addresses. Most only have mailing addresses. They all have phone numbers. Okay. But that's what I was saying. Something like the West Roanoke, if we have a document, which we are going to have, simply provide that to them. And they said they would handle that distribution to their churches. Would members get it simply because the churches do? I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know about all churches, but like my church has a way of calling all their members and informing them of different events. So if I'm sure other churches have that same capability.
Sarah has really been great on the social media piece. So I would think that something like that we could give to her as a charge and ask her to kind of make that happen or look for other ways. And we may have to feed her some suggestion and names. But she's
I've already asked her via text message to put today's events on Facebook just to inform people of what we have discussed here. And even getting audio out there as soon as possible will help.
But make sure that we know this, that has to be red screen first before it goes out.
Yes.
We will do a robocall and enforce where that information is. And also, Sarah and I both have direct contacts with the WITN, WNCT, and what I'll do is, under the county manager's direction, is if he's okay with it, is call them directly and make sure we're going to get that on the news.
Yeah, and might say just pastors or people like that, it's going to be.
That's right. Good. So we will work on that.
All right. All minds clear, as they say. before we close it, thank you all. And again, I want to compliment not just the task force, but all of the employees in there are really working hard. It's a new world out there. They have to do things in different ways. But people are showing up for work, and they're doing a great job. So I applaud the citizens of Prosper G. County local government for continuing to serve the citizens. So thank you. Without that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay safe, John.